Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this day is written in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15, the first 10 verses. Let us rise, if you can, for the reading of the text. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found the coin that I'd lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Increase our faith through them, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, now somebody asked me once when I said that, "Dear fellow redeemed, are you being exclusive here? Just who are you talking about?" Well, I want you to know, when we address those who are redeemed, we address all people. For Christ our Savior is the Redeemer not of some or a few or even most, but he's the Redeemer of the world, and he is therefore your Redeemer. So when I say, "Dear fellow redeemed," I'm speaking to you. So, dear fellow redeemed, let's take just a moment to consider what Jesus has told us. How many grew up with sheep? Yeah, that's what I figured. Not many. And since you haven't lost a sheep, it's pretty hard to kind of dial yourself into what Jesus is talking about and getting an emotional connection with it. And how many of you lost a couple thousand bucks in the flagstone of your floor? Probably not too many of us. And as a result, you may not have the sense of relief that this woman did when she found that silver coin. So what Jesus is communicating, he is communicating a sense of relief and joy and exaltation. Hurrah! Yay! And that's a picture, he says, of heaven's joy at your salvation. In the first place, you have to think of a sheep like an investment. I didn't get a sheep when I was a kid, although we did have sheep. I'll just use a similar thing with a cow. I got a cow when I was 15. And, you know, around Chicago, they say, "What a really rural gift that must have been." Well, yes. But let me tell you, I could raise 6 calves a year on Patricia. And we filled the freezer every other year as a result of Patricia. And she provided milk, butter, and cream for 5 years. And when I sold all the offspring that I raised off that cow, I left home at the age of 20 with $6,000 in the bank in the 60s. Not bad. But let's say I'd lost that cow. Let's say she'd gotten out into the woods. All that would have been lost. It would have been nothing. You add all that up, that's thousands and thousands of dollars. So to find her would have been a wonderful thing. And give you a sense of the joy and relief that Jesus is talking about. And it's true also with the second illustration, where the woman lost a silver coin. Let me tell you, it's not like losing a dime. I know people who see a dime on the floor, they won't even bother to lean over and pick it up. It's not worth the effort. Well, that's not the kind of silver coin here we're talking about. We're talking about something like equivalent of a drachma or a day's wages for a working man. Well, this isn't a working man here. This is a woman. And as a result, we're talking about a huge percentage of her income. In fact, it's a tenth. She had 10 silver coins. She lost a tenth of her fortune, a tenth of her net worth. Disappeared into the dark and the gloom of unlit corners, maybe in the dirt floor or flagstone floor. She got the lamp out, got down on her hands and knees, got her whisk broom. She hunted until she found her fortune again. So you could think of it, I suppose, if you want to relate, think of it as losing part of your livelihood or a major portion of your retirement, of your net worth, and finding it again. You think of it as losing something of great value to you and finding it again. And that's a picture of God's love for you. That's the picture that he has, that there is in heaven, of the joy that you have come to know him, that you are his. As he puts it, when he comes home, talking of the shepherd, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep that was lost." And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost." And so the point is, well, the point is that Jesus was making a point to the Pharisees. The Pharisees despised Jesus. I mean, they really looked down on this guy. They despised him because they saw him welcoming people with tawdry, dirty, corrupt pasts. The kind of people you just would not want to be seen with. As it says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Nowadays we'd say, "Ick!" The tax collectors would be like corrupt public officials. They'd be like the guy who is doing an inspection on your place of business, and it's time for you to open, and your livelihood depends on your getting open, and the inspector says, "Well, we're about ready. A couple $1,000 would make it easy to open your doors tomorrow." He does it because he can. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're going to be closed for weeks unless you pay him. All right, that gives you a feel for what these people felt about those tax collectors. All right, they did the similar thing with taxes. "You got to pay me. You don't pay me, hey, you got to deal with the authorities because I say so." Get a sense of the resentment, the people that take your money just because they can. So, those were the tax collectors. And the sinners, what were those people like? Well, they'd be the mom a few doors down who has six children with five fathers, and three of the fathers are in prison, and two of them are dead. Or they're like the guy who is divorced, One woman married another or didn't bother to marry and takes advantage of any woman he can. These would be the people who work at the charity and skim the money for themselves rather than giving it to those who need it. These would be the women who had abortions or the guys who paid for them. And here they were at Jesus' place for dinner. And he's treating them as his guests. And he's happy to see them in an outrageous show of approval. And someone in that culture, if you disapprove of somebody, you don't dare share a meal with them. From the point of view of the Pharisees, and of course this is written to us because we think this way too. From the point of view of the Pharisees and us, when we are feeling self-righteous, these people were irredeemable. There was nothing about them that would make them good people and worthy of acceptance, much less approval and companionship. Think of the appearances of these things. What would this do to the innocence of my family, my friends, to see Jesus treating people like that? What would people think of me if they saw me hang around this Jesus guy? They were irredeemable by themselves, but they were not irredeemable by Jesus. Jesus was not accepting these people because of their sin. He was overjoyed to spend time with them because of their repentance. Do you see the difference? These weren't people who were lost. These are people who had been found. Of course you don't celebrate the loss of your sheep or your important financial asset or part of your net worth. No, that's a source of grief. No, it's the finding of these people that was a source of joy, that was the cause of Jesus' welcome, including the fact that they could, in fact, be found. That was the source of joy, the fact that they could be saved. Now, do you realize, this is important, do you realize that we are all like these sinners? That every last one of us at one time was among the lost. As I said right at the beginning of the service, we are all born lost. And we know that there are some, perhaps you, who grew up, were baptized, came into the faith, were found, and then were lost again. Went back to walk on the other side, to walk in darkness. And you think back on that and you think maybe of something that you did that just twists your guts when you think of it because it was so shameful. Or maybe it was a way of life that you followed that you'd blush to think of if other people knew what you'd done. Or maybe it was simply that you look back and you say, there was a time in my life when I just couldn't be bothered with Jesus, that religion thing. And you grew indifferent to the goodness of God and wandered away from the faith. An unbaptized child, somebody caught up in one vice or another, in drink or porn or lying or theft or debauchery or gossip or divisiveness or vicious bullying. Or someone who just has no use for Christ and his word. Such a person as this walks in darkness because of unbelief. And it's a darkness that doesn't end. It doesn't get better. Death doesn't end it. Death makes it worse. Death leads to hell and an eternity without the light and without love and without the goodness of God. That's what people face apart from Christ. So to be found by someone who loves you personally, by someone who knew when he was suffering on the cross for your sins, knew you and knew that this was done to redeem you, that gives that person who redeemed you, Jesus Christ, great joy. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So Jesus is awfully excited to know that you're a Christian. There's rejoicing in heaven over the fact that you have gone from unbelief to faith. Is there any joy in your heart? Or have we grown cold to the fact? Have we gotten so used to being forgiven that we forget the significance of it? Savor, please, for a little while, what it means to be found, to be rescued, to be converted, to be brought to faith in Christ, to be baptized. Again, we sometimes don't appreciate what it means. I'll use as an example. I'll go back on the farm. I was 18 or 19, and there was the farm next to us had been sold and become a camp. And understand, this is in the hills of Washington State. So it was all wooded and beautiful and that sort of thing. Well, these kids from the city that went to this camp decided they would come over onto our place. And so they crawled through the fence and went into play in the big pasture we called the good pasture. The only problem is that they didn't know that there was a bull there. And so we shouted at him, get over the fence, get out of here. And they thought, you know, we were just being narrow-minded and oppressive or what have you. And so they gave us lip back on the order of, well, you're not going to tell us what to do, you bossy so-and-sos. And that's when the bull noticed them. And he noticed them before they noticed him. And it really is like the cartoons, except for the flames coming out of the nose. There's a ring in the nose, and the bull paws the ground, and he snorts, and he tosses his head, and he will charge. And literally, it's like getting run over by a truck. That's if you're lucky. So I ran over to where the cows were because, of course, what he's doing is protecting the cows. And so he saw somebody over by the cows. He decided he would come over and deal with me. I, however, stayed on the right side of the fence. But that gave these other guys a chance to crawl back through the barbed wire and escape over to Camp Brotherhood. And trespassers survived. Now, here's the point I'm making. They saw a little bit of the bull's theatrics. They really didn't know what they escaped. Bottom line, they thought it was pretty funny. We were more scared for them than they were scared for them. So with that in mind, think about it, what it means that you have more than escaped some rowdy bull. You have gone from light to darkness, from unbelief to faith, from mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. From doomed to everlasting shame to becoming an heir of everlasting life. You know the sins that are part of your life. You know that they stand in judgment of you. But those sins have been laid upon Christ. And he has taken the blame for them, the responsibility for them, the guilt for them all to the cross. And there he has redeemed you. And then think of the joy that our Creator enjoys because you are now his. Do you have any idea how much you are loved? Now, I confess that I was a little bit like the Pharisees in that last occasion I described. I kind of hope they caught every barb on the way through the wire. That'll learn them. But God isn't like that. If they'd been loved ones, they would have been different. For God and Christ understand there are no unloved ones. There is none that he begrudges their salvation. All give him joy in their repentance and rescue from sin and death. And that is one reason why the motto of this congregation is sharing the joy. At some point, we consider the joy of our salvation, and as we considered it, we came to understand that there is joy also in sharing that salvation. And that's particularly significant now because we're coming up on the 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation. The Lutheran Reformation didn't bring anything new to the church. It was rather a rediscovery of God's grace. God's grace is what? The word grace means simply unmerited love. It was the discovery that our hope of salvation doesn't depend upon our getting it right, but upon the fact that Christ got it right for us, and that he took our sins to the cross, and there he redeemed us. It's this unmerited love of God for us that is the source of his joy over all who are found, all who become his, converted to the faith, which is, of course, the only true faith. Those sinners who visited Jesus, do you think they comprehended what had to happen for them to be forgiven? I'm sure they didn't understand it any more than we do. Even later, it is crucifixion. They didn't see the horrors that he felt, the horrors of hell, the horrors of God's wrath over sin that he suffered for them. But they knew, because he said so, that there was forgiveness for them, that their sins were washed away. As shameful as they were, they had the Lord's own approval and love. And the Pharisees needed to understand the joy so that they too would share it. Now, we're in a position to share that joy, each of us in our own lives, in a lot of different ways. Laura and Greg, through God's gift of baptism, Carter has been brought from darkness to light. And he looks like he's sharing a lot of the joy. He's expressing it there. And by God's grace, as you talk to him through life, he will understand it more and more. And I was touched when I asked you why you wanted him baptized. And Laura, I think you're the one that put it into words. We want him to have faith, you said. And that's exactly what you have done. You brought him to Christ, and Christ, through his words of baptism, has brought him to faith. So, let there be joy. Over the next couple of Sundays, we'll also be talking about projects our church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is pursuing to bring the joy of salvation to others. A new mission in Texas, training vicars to become evangelism pastors, cross-cultural ministry. These are all things we're working on together. But never forget that in the background, behind all this, lies not just church work that we do together, but it's all about the living Word of God touching the hearts of people, sometimes through baptism, sometimes through the spoken word, touching the hearts of people and bringing them to spiritual life. Behind everything we do in sharing that word is heaven's joy at your salvation. Amen.